Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walled it, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
A modern day warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride. Though his mind is not for rent, don't put him down as arrogant. His reserve, a quiet defense, riding out the day's events. The river. Living in the limelight, the universal dream. For those who wish to see, those who wish to be, must put aside the alienation, get on with the fascination, the real relation, the underlying theme. Getty Brewski.
Now, after his death, it was reported that he was gay. And you were his fiance. Was he secretly gay?
Secretly gay. Yeah, it was secretly gay.
Yep, and they're probably going to interview that guy. Actually, it looks like he was in the ad for the new documentary that Netflix is doing about Aaron Hernandez, the one that they're talking about there in the Dr. Phil show, where it was like this whole thing with Aaron Hernandez's fiance, but the whole deal, like they teased for the entire hour, hey, guess what? You're about to find out whether... You know,
was he secretly gay?
With his menacing music and his face. But I guess he's part of that documentary that's going to be coming out.
Now, is he out of jail?
Well, I mean, he's being interviewed, so I would assume so, unless they did a jailhouse interview.
I mean, yeah, they can do a jailhouse interview.
I guess so. I'm not quite sure. I didn't really follow up on that part of the story. It is interesting, though. I mean, all of that. But that Netflix documentary, I mean, it seems to follow a lot along the lines of that Spotlight thing that the Globe did. And I'm not sure if they got more audio, but it sure seems like it, because I haven't heard the clips that they put just in the trailer of Aaron Hernandez talking to his mother. That was very, very interesting. And on top of that, I guess they've got a whole bunch of other audio and things like that. But that documentary seems interesting, but there's another one, Fred, that's coming out. That,
yeah.
I was trying to...
About someone who's secretly gay.
I mean, listen, I mean,
was he secretly gay?
I'm not quite sure about that. Mm-hmm. But what I do know is that there's a documentary that's coming out that I think that... I was trying to remember how we had a major part in it. And I'm trying to put the pieces together. It's about the...
Oh, I probably nailed the guy.
Maybe that's the case.
Yeah, I mean if you're ever looking...
Was he secretly gay?
If you're ever looking for it... Look in the mirror to see who is the secretly gay guy. I'm usually the culprit that cracked that nut.
All right, maybe you guys can help me remember this. Okay, so there's a documentary coming out about when Tom Brady's jersey was stolen after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I got some email about that, about watching like a premiere of it or something.
Yeah, the Great Brady Heist. And I had heard about that. I saw the documentary, and it's a really fascinating story. And if you forget, it was after the, I forget which Super Bowl. I think it was the Atlanta Super Bowl, the one where they beat Atlanta. I believe that was it. Yeah, it was the one, it was after the big comeback game. So Tom Brady, after the game, gives his jersey to one of his handlers or something, and they put it down. And Tom Brady goes and goes to the locker, and he's like, I can't find my jersey. And does anybody know where it is? And there's actual footage and audio on the documentary trailer of him going, guys, where's my jersey? I can't find it. Anyone seen it? He's like, no, I haven't seen it. And remember, it was that guy who got a fake press credential and went into the Patriots locker room and stole Tom Brady's jersey. And nobody knew where it was for almost a year until there was this guy who...
It was a kid
who lives around here.
No, he's out in Seattle.
That's right, he was out in Seattle. But he is one of these memorabilia collectors, but he was a kid. And there was a guy saying he was selling a game-worn Tom Brady jersey. And this kid put like the pieces together and was like, that jersey he's talking about is the one Tom Brady's been missing. And I remember he was speaking to the press, and I believe our part in it was that we connected that kid to the Patriots. Remember we had him on the show?
Yes.
Okay, I think that was the part of it. And we were like, hey, man, you've got this jersey. I guarantee you that Tom Brady's going to want it. I know that the Patriots will want to probably reward you for it. And remember we connected the two of them, and they ended up flying him out, and Tom Brady gave him another like game-worn jersey and signed it, and they gave him like tickets to a couple games. But that documentary, and they have the actual dude being interviewed who stole the jersey, and I guess he had done that several different times before. And you remember Jay Glazer, who somehow always has access to these insane videos? He had the video of the guy walking in and smuggling out the jersey and putting it in. And sure enough, he had like a regular press credential, so nobody questioned the guy. The people who are allowed to go in and out of those locker rooms after games, it's hysterical. Like, it's a Super Bowl. It's in the biggest game of the year. And just some dude who shouldn't have had a press credential in the first place was able to get one, I think through legal means. I think he like made up like some publication he worked for, and that was enough to get him a press pass, and he was able to get in. But that's a documentary I want to see, but hopefully they got to mention us in it. I mean, we were the ones who made the magic happen for the kid, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be seen by everyone. That sounds like something that's going to capture the nation's attention. I've heard it's the new Star Wars.
I mean, it's going to be on Fox.
Fox, just like the Fox, the regular Fox?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the night before the Super Bowl, they're playing. It's like on that Saturday night. It's going to be on at 7 p.m. It's a I don't know if it's like an hour.
Is it
going to
take over the slot of the new Jason Biggs show?
It is not. I know you're a big fan of the Jason Biggs show.
There's a couple, and they got three genius kids and one dumb one. So it's going to be on Fox proper?
Yep. It's called The Great Brady Heist. It looks really well done. It's got interviews with all of the people who were involved, including the dude who stole it.
I can't think of that could be interesting.
Oh, it is. I mean, even just the trailer, like, because it's like how this guy was able to get in there and how this kid was able to piece together. And I guess this isn't the only thing the dude had stolen. He had gone into other, I forget what it is. There was another, maybe it was like a Drew Brees jersey or something, but he like had this stash of stolen jerseys and sports memorabilia from locker rooms that he was able to get into and sneak into and rob.
It seems like quite a long way to go to get stuff that is going to be disappointing in value. All I know is that every time I see Pawn Stars or I see auctions online, nothing is worth nearly what you think it is. Like the game, first of all, like to get was certify that it was a game worn jersey, and then if it is a game worn jersey, what do you think? $3,000 for the game worn jersey?
Oh man! I mean, put it this way:
it is not touching what you think it is.
So Tom Brady's jersey after that game, you would think might be one of the highest valued modern day jerseys, correct?
Okay. Well,
so think of that.
There's like Zeppelin albums that like with, you know, like rare Zeppelin albums that are signed by the entire band that are worth like $5,000.
Oh, I'm trying to validate your point here.
Okay, yeah. You go and do that. I thought you were going to try to undercut me.
No. I'm saying that jersey of all the modern day jerseys, not like players from, you know, whatever, But, you know, Tom Brady, after that massive comeback, that was Super Bowl win number 5. So, I mean, you'd have to think that that is probably going to be worth $5,000? Maybe $10,000?
No, not $10,000. Again, I don't mean to dismiss it, but it's a very long way to go to get something that is not worth... Like, you're better off, like, shoplifting and stuff. Go ahead, John.
There, it's significantly more than that. I'm reading a story from a few years ago where a Brady game-worn jersey worn in a regular season game, not a Super Bowl, was sold at auction in 2012 for $46,000.
No. Wow. That's interesting.
I don't believe that.
And a dirty Brady jersey worn during a 2014 regular season game went up for auction and was purchased at $56,000.
Nope. I don't believe it because you can get the Super Bowl rings for less than that.
Okay, here's what they're saying. They're saying that Tom Brady's stolen Super Bowl jerseys worth $800,000 were recovered. And this is the thing in Mexico. It's from the story. Mm-hmm. And it was a pair of jerseys. So he had a second one, too, that was stolen.
It's just Brady specific because he is who he is at his place in NFL history.
Good luck.
Who's paying almost a million dollars for that?
I find it impossible. Like, you can get, like, Babe Ruth's bat for under $1 million.
But for some reason, the jerseys are worth more than that.
No, they wouldn't John.
Can you find out what the highest sold, like, jersey, game-worn jersey is of all time?
I have it here.
Okay.
Johnny Unitas sold at auction in 2015 for almost $120,000.
Okay, well then, how can Brady's be worth $800,000?
I don't think it is, but it's worth more than Fred thinks it is.
Okay, so Houston police labeled this a felony, and they put the value at $500,000 for that one jersey. That doesn't mean that's what it's actually going to be paid
for. What's a felony? It's like over $2,000 or something?
It's slower than you think, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. All I do is I watch the Pawn Stars. They have, like, moon rocks and, like, pieces of... I mean, you'd be amazed about how little stuff costs. Is valued, especially at auction. Remember who bought the guy who did some comic book bought the baseball that McGuire hit or something like that?
Yeah, or the Bonds home run ball too.
Yeah,
remember that whole story? I agree with you. The memorabilia part of it, the bats and the balls, don't go for nearly as much as you think. But jerseys are different. I have a story here about Sandy Koufax, who was a Hall of Fame pitcher. For those people don't know, it's over $200,000 for a jersey of his.
Yeah, but that's a special market. That's left-handed Jewish people.
Ah,
You got to dip into. I mean, that's a very specific market.
Someone paid over $1 million for a Babe Ruth worn jersey.
I could see that. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It just seems like. And then, how do you get rid of it?
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, once you spend all that money for the jersey, okay, you frame it, you hang it up, and that's it.
Is it like that? Like, are there some, like, Russian oligarchs? Like, whenever there's art stolen anywhere, who, like, are the only people in the world that would actually pay money for it?
Well, there's a documentary about the art world and how the auctions have become just this peeing contest between rich people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the value of the art is not contingent at all on the quality of it.
Of course,
it's just people, like, trying to outdo each other.
Well, you saw that whole thing at Art Basel, the big art thing that they do down in Miami, where a guy just took a banana he had bought down the street and taped it to the wall.
Yes.
And what did it go for? Was it $20,000? And then he just ate it. You know, was it $100,000? Okay. Well,
there was more than one. I don't think it was $100,000. Okay. I think it was $20,000.
But either way, it was a ridiculous amount of money for a banana he just bought down the street. But you're right. That was just, look at how much money I have.
Right. Yeah. And so, like, Basquiat's are going for, $5 million. And you're like, okay. All right, well, maybe I'm wrong. I just watch Pawn Stars, and I'm always amazed that they'll go, like...
It's true.
This is like the original Gideon Bible signed by Jesus. And then they'll be like, oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, Fred, I think it's because we were all raised on the lie that our baseball cards one day were going to be worth something.
I made the same mistake.
And so everyone's got these inflated value on, like, sports memorabilia. And then reality sets, and you're like, man, this is worth the crap.
Because they'll have Super Bowl rings, and they'll be worth... And then what's funny about the Super Bowl rings is that... And this is in that movie I just saw, too, Uncut Gems, is that they... like, it's more about the value of the stones in the ring than it is the actual ring.
How funny is that? I mean, that's interesting to me. And also, it's like, you know, I always thought, aren't most of the Super Bowl rings personalized to the player?
All of them are. Yeah, they get names on the side and maybe a motto of the team engraved inside of it, whatever it was. Unless like the worst deal here type of thing.
Yeah, like unless you have the ring of one of the top two players on that team, like, do you really care?
Yeah. Who wants Tully Banta Kane's Super Bowl ring?
Truly.
We do. We have his jersey hanging up.
Still? Is it still up? Is it up here somewhere?
It's in some urinal. Yeah. All right, Matt, go ahead.
Mike?
Oh, hey,
yeah,
Mike.
Sorry, it's my fault.
Yeah, no worries, man. So I actually know a bit about this because I collect memorabilia, not sports memorabilia. I have friends that collect sports memorabilia. So the thing about collecting any type of memorabilia is you can get it and you can try to sell it and it won't be worth anything unless you get it verified by like an independent commission. So like for me, for example, I collect comic books. I have about like $40,000 worth of comics. So for example, like I have like a Batman comic that if I were to just put it on eBay just by myself, I would get maybe like $200 for it. But because I sent it out, I like literally had to pay money to mail it, get it verified, sealed in hard plastic, and confirmed that it's real, and then had it mailed back to me. It's now worth over $1,000, and it's the same with jerseys. So you'd have to mail it out and get it verified, and then it will be worth money.
Did you verify that the stolen Tom Brady jersey that everyone's been looking for?
But this is a very rare Batman comic, right?
Yeah, but it's the same with jersey. So like,
no. But what I'm saying is that it's a very rare Batman comic, and it's worth $1,000. Right.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. And did you think it would be worth more?
The jersey would be, yeah. If he was, like, because he could get denied, too, then, you know, like, hypothetically. Like, so he could send it out, but if he gets it sent back and it's verified that it's, like, real and they vet it, I can't say how much money it would be worth, but it would be worth significantly more.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, as I said, if there's any jersey that should be worth a lot, it's that one. It's that one, or maybe even...
And the fact that it was stolen and in the news and now the publicity. Yeah, I'm looking at a Times article here. While they were still looking for it, like you said, Rich, the value is $500,000.
Dan, go ahead.
Fred, you are infuriating. John Wallach gives you proof. Boom. Like, you're wrong. Fred,
I don't know where he got it. I don't know where he got the information. He could have got it from johnwallach.com.
Again, just like, why are you so reluctant to say, hey, you know what, guys, you might be right. And then also, Pawn Stars, they're not going to give a guy, some crackhead walking in with a Fender, oh, my God, that's Jimi Hendrix, I'll give you the whole bank. Of course they're going to price it low.
No, they bring in an expert, and he looks at it, and the expert with the guitar is super tattooed, and he comes in and he
right. And that guy isn't working for the Pawn Stars. He's like independent.
You're saying that you're saying the Pawn Stars is a big scam.
Well, reality shows are also 100% real, as we know too. So,
well, they just happen to know all about every item that comes in. All right. Well, I don't know. Maybe they go up for auction for that much. All I know is that. And it's not just Pawn Stars. All I know is that you think things are worth a bunch of money, and then they generally aren't. So maybe if you want to pay, what was it, $500,000?
For that particular jersey,
That one's from a New York Times article.
And you know what? Yeah. After everything it just went through, you're right, John. I think it might actually be worth close to that now.
Now that it was stolen
now
and
that
everything.
It's storied, yes.
Yeah, maybe. But I just, game warrant, just it's... They're not. Stuff is never what you think it is. All
Unless
right,
it's a left-handed Jewish specialty item. I understand.
No, that is a Sandy Koufax. Yes, believe me, my family is father-in-law and everyone has been bidding very highly on it. All right, Rich, what is coming up?
All right, what the hell's going on with the Celtics? Weird moment last night that actually involved an arrest at the TD Garden.
All right, we'll find out all about that in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, maybe after what he posted, you thought he was staying as a Patriot. Maybe you thought he was leaving. But the one thing that we think we can all agree on is that Tom Brady yesterday, when he made his post on Instagram, is that He wants to play and intends on playing next season. He ended his big post that was very heartfelt to the fans with, "And that's right where you will find me, because I know I still have more to prove." And, of course, that launched 1,000 takes as to whether he's going to stick around. To me, it just seemed like a guy basically saying, "Hey, man, I'd love to play for the Patriots. I'd love to finish here. Pay me and I'll do it. But to all the other teams out there, get ready to make me an offer."
Or, you know, a reaction to Kraft saying, "I wouldn't want him to play for us, or I would like him to retire." So maybe he's saying, "Ah, I'm not retiring.
Just get ready," because what we are seeing now and what we're going to see until it's official, and that would be the middle of March, is it's going to be cover-your-ass posturing. And that is all three sides in this. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Robert Kraft are going to release statements like they already have. They're going to make comments to that if things don't work out in the end, they want it out there that they did everything that they could so it would do so.
I don't see Belichick doing that.
Belichick already did.
He did. Belichick already did.
He said that
it's a two-way street.
He said it's a two-way street, and he said it's also a group decision. He was saying that
it's not just me.
Yeah, it's just not me. So he already has.
So you have that, and on top of that, because think about it, too. You know, Robert Kraft, as much as if Tom Brady leaves, I don't think anyone's going to kill the Krafts. As a matter of fact, I believe that he chose Belichick in this whole negotiation. Belichick obviously does not want to pay a ton of money for Tom Brady for an extended amount of time, because Belichick probably realizes that's not in the best interest of this football team. So most rational people wouldn't kill the Krafts, but do you think for a second that he doesn't sit up worrying about that? Is that if they let Tom Brady go and he ends up leaving this team, that people are going to hold that against Robert Kraft for the rest of his life.
Sure, which is why I think that he's going to panic and re-sign him.
Man, I just don't think that's ultimately a good move. I mean,
think it's a good thing for the team. I just think he's going to panic and re-sign.
See, hopefully what happens, I mean, if you're a fan of this team and you like Tom Brady, the ideal thing I believe that could happen is that they find some sort of way, and I don't think it's going to happen, to get Tom Brady to agree to lesser money and somehow find a way to put some decent weapons around him. That seems like a pipe dream, but if that happens, then God bless the Krafts and God bless the Bill Belichick if you were able to finagle things to make all of that work. I just don't see how that's a possibility right now. But after Tom Brady's Instagram post, a whole lot of people, a lot of his teammates, a lot of people around the country posted different things, including Jamie Collins, just a couple goat emojis. You had Brandon Bolden, Dedrick Wise, the McCourty twins. By the way, isn't that weird that they don't have their own account? The McCourty twins have their own.
More power in, you know, being odd twins.
I guess so. They put "love competing with and against you," they put on there. Also, Jarrett Stidham weighed in saying, "You're the man, 12. Please leave." On top of that, you've got other people like Sony Michelle, just two muscle emojis on there as well, and so many more. Jalen Ramsey even putting in 100% little things on there. So there you go. Everybody.
Lots of emojis.
Tons of emojis for Tom
Brady.
Not a
lot to say in their own words, just a lot of emojis.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred, and why the hell not?
So, yeah, it's the future.
Mm-hmm, that is the future. Well, yesterday, Panthers coach Matt Rhule was introduced to the world, and to be quite honest, I haven't been keeping up with post-game press conferences for Baylor football, but I do know that if you are a fan of the Carolina Panthers, and this is the guy that you have stuff up there, this is somewhat impressive.
People have asked me why do you want to take on this next chapter of your life? Well, Coach, you had a great thing at Baylor. Why did you want to go to the NFL? And it's really simple to me. I start every decision in my life with why. And I'll tell you this. Man, I love the game of football. Football's brought me in all these places and to meet all these people, and it's brought me here today. It's a special game. It's the greatest game that there is. You walk into a locker room, there's guys of all ages. There's guys from all different parts of the country. There's guys of all shapes and sizes. Yet they come together to form a team and play the hardest game that there is to play. They play in bad weather. They play when they're injured. They play when they don't feel great. They find a way to get it done as a team. It's the greatest game that there is. And as I sat here and was trying to make a decision about my life, I said to myself, Matt, what do you want? And I want to go and be a part of the greatest game at the highest stage, and I just had to figure out where.
Okay, this guy might end up being the next Bobby Valentine and just someone who, like, you know, says all the right things. That might be the case. But the one thing I thought as I was watching him speak, as far as just being a guy who seems to be a motivator, is I just thought about how different he is from, like, Doug Marrone of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I love bologna. In the morning, I can go out, throw some bologna, just eat it plain. I do the roll-up principle, where you roll it up, and I can even roll things inside it. I can roll American cheese inside it. And when I'm on my, you know, the carb kick, not having carbs, I can do that and stay away from the bread.
Or I can put the bread on. Thing. By the way, he was the line cook at Chili's, to let you know, the ex-coach of Baylor. He was the line cook at Chili's.
Matt Rhule?
As if that was some kind of insult. I've been a waiter at Chili's, got all the free chips and salsa you could eat.
How do you get through your, like, 20s and maybe even your late teens without doing some sort of either food service or, like, customer service? You don't just jump right into having a good job.
Well, they think it's very interesting that he worked at Chili's.
Well, I mean, you now know why this guy talked himself into getting $70 million. I mean, he speaks like a motivational speaker. And as I said, he might end up being so full of crap. But when you're used to seeing all of these, like, dudes come in there who just are I mean, the first guy I thought of is a dude that's about to get a gig with Mike McCarthy's staff, is Mr. Jim Tomsula.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Jim Tomsula just came in and he was, like, sleeping in his car.
Right. Like, I'm wondering, like, okay, you hear him speak, Matt Rhule, and then you think Tomsula.
This is a really good football team. They're well coached, a lot of talent. Nothing but respect for them.
A lot of examples in football history of good quarterbacks losing their confidence after things sort of snowballed on them.
Tomsula's just farting during press conferences.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who can't control it.
History of good quarterbacks.
He doesn't take care of himself. No. Like he was just like, oh man, I got a coach today.
Right, he was excited to be there, but he was sleeping in his car.
It's a guy that would, like, swear when he was excited about food.
Yeah,
like he would just, like, walk into, like, the Golden Corral and go, "Son of a bitch."
Well, he's lost
what
control.
What shall
of his,
we do today?
Lost control of his anus. I mean, there was no way to keep the gas inside.
He lost control. He has no way to monitor like the ins and outs of things.
No, it just comes out. All right, when we come back.
Well, history of good quarterbacks.
Craziness at the Celtics game last night. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, unusual things happening last night during the Celtics game.
Well, listen, the Celtics are a very good team. There's no debating that, but they have looked like absolute Rhea the past couple of games.
And the Celtics, who seem to be cutting a swath through the Eastern Conference, have run into a speed bump. A rough performance Monday night in Washington, and they follow it up by getting hammered at home by the Spurs. The final score, San Antonio 129, Boston 114, and it's on to Philadelphia.
Yep, over the last two games, they've played a pair of teams that have a combined record of 28-44, and they haven't led in either game. Celtics lose to San Antonio, as you heard right there, 129-114. The Celtics fell behind by as much as 22 points in the first half. Another no-show to start the game, which unfortunately is becoming a trend.
Marcus Smart, he drops it. It's rolling towards the backcourt. Bryn Forbes dives, comes up with a loose ball. Push pass ahead to Lyles, who scores.
Wow, what a disaster.
Ooh. This is now the Celtics' largest deficit at home. It happened one other time this year, and they came back and beat Milwaukee.
You know, Sean Grandy yesterday tweeted out a stat that really put the Celtics' first half woes in perspective. In the second half of games, the Celtics are the number one offense in the NBA. In the first half, they're the 23rd. But then the Celtics started to rally, as they always do. And in the third, the Cs were knocking on the Spurs' doorstep, cutting the lead to only 7 points. But then things got weird.
Aldridge starts to back him down, kick out White, up fakes, and Aldridge just crushes Kemba Walker on the screen. Meanwhile, Tice is called for a reach-in foul. Here's a technical to make it worse. Oh, Brad Stevens is furious.
Oh, he's thrown now. He's Duke Kemba out the game.
Ooh. Wow.
So Somebody threw a beer from the top.
Stuff is coming from the crowd now. Kemba got blasted by Aldridge without a call. And you want to talk about a quick trigger. Kemba Walker gets ejected by Evan Scott.
Whoa.
Can't do that. The young official lost it a little bit. You want to tee up Kemba Walker, you tee him up, but then you let the thing resolve.
He blasted it with that foul when he came over, even with the body. Kemba had a right to come up and say, yeah, it happened.
Kemba Walker ejected for the first time in his NBA career. LaMarcus Aldridge absolutely leveled Kemba. Kemba jumps up, screams at the ref when a foul was called, even hurling an F-bomb. We all saw that. And bang, bang, two technicals. He's out of the game. Even robot Brad Stevens lost his mind on that one. And you knew things were bad when Mike Gorman took over for the absent Tommy Heinsohn and started calling the ref by his name.
Yeah.
And as Sean just mentioned right there, young guy, he's a rookie. This is his first year doing it, and he just lost his cool. I mean, when do you ever see that, where it's technical, technical, and then he's out of the game?
Kemba had a complaint. I mean, when Aldridge set a big screen but then pushed his arms out as Walker was falling down, it looked like, even though that wasn't the case, he pushed his arms out after the contact was made, it looked like he knocked him down, you know, real time. So you tee him up, Walker gets up and starts swearing at the ref, and the referee, you know, guidelines are you tee a kid up for doing that. The problem was after that, Walker didn't look like he was arguing all that much, and the young kid lost control. I mean, in a situation like that where you may have missed a call and a player is upset, okay, you tee him up for swearing at you, but then you walk away. And Scalabrine made this point on the broadcast for television. You know, you made a mistake, but then you walk away. You take the abuse from the player for making the mistake. You teed him up. You're even.
Yep.
The kid who's in his first year as a full-time referee, I think he was a replacement ref when other refs went on vacation last year and he did 8 or 9 games.
I'm being told he's 27 years
old. Yes, he's 27. He graduated college in 2014. I mean, there's no excuse
for
this.
Can you imagine in football if you kicked people out for yelling at you like that?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I
know. Exactly.
Like a psycho like Brian Flores when he just looks like he could rip your head off.
To be honest, that's the maddest I've seen Kemba Walker. And he did like say, it was like, what the F is wrong with you or something like that. I mean, he should have gotten a technical. But still, on top of that, what looked like almost a full beer was thrown from the stands right in front of the Spurs bench. As a matter of fact, somebody tweeted, well, I mean, when you see it,
You were in a band. How many things got chucked at you?
All the time.
Yeah, what did you... I mean, come on. So, like, I can be in a band, unless I'm Sebastian Bach.
This looks like a can of beer, however.
No, it was a can of beer.
And it was... And somebody tweeted me a video of what looks like the guy getting ejected. And, dude, it's a can of beer from the 300 section.
Yeah, you do.
That hits you on the head?
Yeah, you
get that a little... That can F you up.
Now you get a little welt.
Celtics were real quick about that.
Well, so
real quick,
so got the kid out of there. If you're in a band, you get spit on and people throw things at
you. That is true, but then again, you know, I don't think that anyone deserves to get brained with a almost full beer can from the 300 section.
Yeah, but the beer is coming out while it's falling.
Well, we later found out that the guy who threw it was arrested, and after that, the Celtics fell apart, and that was that. Here's
what's the charge, by the way? Do
assault?
We know?
Assault? I mean, I would think. I mean, wouldn't that be assault?
Not if it doesn't hit anyone.
Or just like, what's the public?
Disturbing the peace.
Disorderly conduct. I mean, listen, he's probably not going to be able to come back to a Celtics game for the rest of the year. Or, you know, he's probably banned for at least a year from the TD Garden. But
how do you enforce that?
You don't. It's just a...
How do you enforce that? Facial recognition software? How do you do that?
Or what was the thing that the Patriots used to give you? Oh, I remember. It was a letter of disinvite.
That's right.
Yes. hear ye, hear ye.
Proclamation on a scroll.
Sounds right. When Al Bundy's face was at the register, do not accept checks.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's what they called it. If you get kicked out of a Patriots game, we had people calling in with theirs, and they would read it to us. It's called a letter of disinvite. You doth been ejected from the kingdom of Gillette.
Now, just, be honest and tell us the next time you come.
I know. Unless you have season tickets, there's really no way to monitor. You can't do that. But still, either way.
You can't use your credit card. If you're dumb enough to use your credit card, they're going to kick it back to you.
I think at radio events, we've had things chucked at us.
Oh, sure.
Without question.
Yeah, all the time. But it's different, man. Almost a full can of beer from the 300 section. If that hits you in the head, because it came from right behind the Celtics, the Spurs bench. Yeah. I mean,
I've had bottles thrown at me. I'd rather get hit with a can than a bottle.
It's the 300 section, dude.
I don't know. In other walks of entertainment, there's people throwing crap at you all the time.
And those people get arrested or they get ejected unless it's, you know,
unless it's a
fear
show
or something.
Unless it's Cuts for a Cause or something.
Stop talking to.
No one's throwing stuff at us at Cuts for a Cause.
No, but
you'd be
done
a real a-hole at a children's cancer charity event.
Well, people are a-holes. But we've had things thrown at us at events.
Sure.
We've had bottles thrown at us.
Of course.
Was that here? Or in Atlanta.
But that was more like we're having fun Blues Brothers playing at the Honky Tonk.
No. I've had a vicious beer bottle thrown at me, but I don't know if it was here or in Atlanta.
It wasn't during this station. Maybe it was a BCN thing,
It was either BCN or in 99X.
That was Atlanta. 99X. That was not here. We've never had anyone throw anything at us on stage here. Never.
Oh, I'm sure we have.
Here?
Yeah, I mean, just because you're an athlete, you gotta
toughen up.
Yeah, you gotta get brained.
Well, here is Kemba Walker afterwards on his side of what happened.
I don't know. I mean, I guess tonight he felt I said a little bit too much. So, you know, it was his choice. Obviously, it's on those guys to make those decisions. So he made it. It's the first time I've ever been ejected in my whole life. So. I am a two-time sportsmanship award winner as well. So maybe I should get a little leeway. I see other guys do a lot worse, but like I said, the choice was his. He made it, you know? He got me out of there, and, you know, what can I do? Just really just forget about it. At this point, you know, we lost. You know, I got ejected, and now we got another one tomorrow. I have no idea. I don't know if I got personally. I didn't get personal.
Yeah, it seemed like you talked about just the call itself.
Well, I was just upset with the call, yeah. I mean, I would never get, you know, too personal. You know, it's not that serious. Just try to keep it basketball for the most part. I mean, I definitely said a few bad words, but, you know, I mean, yeah, nothing personal towards him.
Well, after the game, Brad Stevens started his press conference by apologizing to the San Antonio Spurs for what happened in the stands.
We didn't play hard at the start of the game. That's what got us beat. Whatever the call is, whatever Kimba said to get kicked out, he said, whatever I said to get a tech, I said, but, you know, I'm sure the Celtics have already addressed this as an organization, but if not, then, you know, I apologize to the Spurs for what happened out of the stands, and that can be enthroned. I told Pop after the game, I'm really sorry that
Pop was in the military.
They had to experience that.
Who's,
I hope that person's
spy?
Not allowed in the NBA arena.
Who's getting a can? I thought they got rid of cans. I want a can at the game.
No, they got cans.
Really?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. They got cans.
Maybe that guy ruined it then.
Well.
Because I like having either a can or
so
like something you can put a top on.
I don't like the, yeah.
The there's open
something
cup.
About a beer when it's not draft and they put it in a cup. Sean, go ahead.
What's going on?
Hey.
I just want to talk about throwing stuff on the court or on the ice. There's nothing better than it, especially during the playoff and the Bruins game. When they get eliminated, there's shit everywhere.
All right, you can't swear.
You can't swear, though.
All right, but yeah, there's stuff everywhere. In hockey, yeah, you can just chuck whatever you want. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. I'll tell you that.
You can't throw anything you want.
Sure you can. Hockey game? Guy had a hat trick.
Birds,
hats are everywhere.
Oh, that's, oh,
Bird's, someone Bird's gets saying he throws stuff all the time.
There you go.
When I was at Curry College, after a goal, we would select something and we threw a squid on the ice.
Curry had a hockey team?
Yeah, we're pretty good.
Huh.
And where'd you get the squid?
I don't know who.
They would play every middle school.
I don't know how they got the squid, but
it's Match Hill.
I also
match up them in Stonehill. The records go
Red
out the
Wings,
window.
It's like to get an octopus into the Red Wings games now is an operation like you wouldn't believe.
And that's why it's awesome if you see one, because you know how tough it is now.
Oh, my God.
It's like
none of my friends do it. It's, you know, who cares? But, yeah, to get one in. Like, they're real, like, serious about not having those on there.
There's a scale of appropriateness of what you can throw. I mean, I think that if you're throwing, like, you know, I mean, hats, of course, is expected. That's beside that. But, I mean, if you're throwing, like, wrappers and things like that, you can't throw a full beer.
I'll say
from
this,
the 300 section.
No firecrackers.
No children.
Which have been. No. I mean, I'm being serious. No firecrackers, because that would scare the hell out of me.
Is that where you're starting?
Yes.
Yes.
Because when I was in elementary school, they read a story about a kid who went blind from a firecracker. I would prefer not to be spit on because you can get hepatitis. On the I would not want to be hit with a bottle. But you want to throw a beer can at me that's open. Eh, I've been through worse. Yeah, just chuck it. No, I'm not chucking it from the stands. I don't need to get arrested.
People are saying, let's do a new bit where we throw a full beer can at Fred from the 300 section and see if he can tell us if it hurts.
Yeah, go ahead. If you think I have seats that are that low, God bless you. Drop one on me. If you think that I... You know, I don't get free seats to games at all, which bewilders everyone around me. But I do not. And so if you can find me in seats where it would hurt for me to get hit with a beer can to the point where I would have to leave the game, God bless you. I haven't been to a Bruins game outside of the upper deck in 2 years.
It is true. People think we walk into work and there's this treasure chest just filled with tickets.
No,
any game you want.
It goes to all the sales. The only things that you can get tickets to are the Patriots game, and you couldn't pay me to go to a Patriots game. I mean, I would not go to a Patriots game. I'm not driving down to Foxborough to sit. There's nothing worse than live football. Can we all agree?
I don't mind it. I've been to, and you know what?
Too many gaps.
And the Patriots experience has been surprisingly better traffic-wise than in years past.
Every
year.
The last
couple times I've gone. Single time I've gone to a Patriots game, it is a nightmare.
And listen, maybe it's because I expected the nightmare of several years ago, and they've done something with the contra flow or the flow of traffic where it just isn't. I'm not saying it's great. It's not pleasant. But it's better than it used to be.
There's just too much dead time during those games. Basketball and baseball is my favorite game to go to. But basketball and hockey move.
Oh yeah, and on top of that, you can take public transportation and don't you know? And the whole thing with the T down Gillette Stadium. I mean, the drunk tank.
Oh my goodness. You got to get out of there. Like you, I mean,
and you can't leave early with the drunk tank.
Well, also you can't leave early, but then you got to get right out of there. Yeah. Like you're screwed. Because if you don't make the train, then you're screwed. Because good luck getting, a lift out of there. You're not going to do that. All right. Well, listen, if these guys want to be pussies and complain about beers getting thrown at them, to each his own. It sounds to me like something that might happen in Brookline. Come on now. Brookline, 911. Real calls to the Brookline Police Department. We'll have those for you in just a moment.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 Luxury Bowling Lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.